Canto 5, Chapter 9, The Supreme Character of Jada Bharata. Sri Shuka said, after having given up his life of being embodied as a deer, Bharata, the most exalted devotee and most honored of all saintly kings, in his last incarnation acquired the Brahmin status. He was the male half of a twin brother and sister, so one says, who were born from the second wife of a high-minded Brahmin in the line of Saint Angira. This Brahmin, being endowed with all the qualities, was of a perfect control over the mind and the senses, of penance, Vedic study and recitation, of renunciation, satisfaction, tolerance, kindness, knowledge, of no envy, and of spiritual happiness in the wisdom of the soul. With his first wife, he had 9 sons, all equal to him in education, character, behavior, beauty, and magnanimity. Also, in that birth, he remembered his previous lives by the special mercy of the Lord. As a consequence, he was greatly apprehensive not to fall down again in associating with his own kind. Always afraid of being obstructed on the path of devotional service, he kept his mind focused upon his soul. For that purpose, he always thought of the 2 lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and listened to and remembered the descriptions of his qualities that vanquish the bondage to fruitful labor. But to the local people, he posed as someone with a mad, dull, and blind character, because of which he was called Jada. His Brahmin father, who affectionately felt obliged to his son, thought that he, as a father to his son, should teach him that the regulative principles should be observed, even though Jada had no interest in it. Thus he practiced until the end of his student life, again as someone of the sacred thread, the duties of cleanliness of the purification process as prescribed by the Shastras. But he also in the presence of his father acted as if he could not understand a thing of what was instructed. During the onset of the rainy season, the father wished to teach him the Vedic mantras, including the Gayatri preceded by Omkara, but despite his thorough instruction, he, during the 4 months of the summer, did not succeed in teaching him their full mastery. Supposing that his son, despite not feeling for it, had to be fully instructed by him in all the cleanliness, Vedic literature, vows, principles, sacrifice and service to the Guru that belongs to the celibate state, the Brahmin, who considered his son his life breath, in reality acted out of household attachment. Therefore he died, when he was seized by death not as forgetful as he was, as a man full of frustration about the unfit obstinacy of his son. His youngest wife, from whose womb the twins were born, thereupon entrusted them to the first wife, and then followed her husband to where he resided in his afterlife. Jada Bharata's stepbrothers, who had fixed their minds on the ritual culture of the 3 Vedas, had no understanding for the true knowledge of the self. After the death of the father, they gave up the endeavor to teach anything to their half-brother, whom they, unaware of his faculties, considered a dullard. When he, by these materialistic and in fact 2-legged animals, was addressed as being mad, dull, deaf and dumb, he used to reply in likewise terms. He did the things he by force was summoned to do. He used to eat whatever small or large quantity of palatable or tasteless food he obtained, by begging, by wages, or what came of its own accord. He never lived to please his senses, as yet forever stopped to live for the material cause. All by himself, he had accomplished the transcendental blissful vision of someone in knowledge of the true self who, with the dual causes of happiness and distress, summer and winter, wind and rain, did not identify with the body. Firm of limbs, he, as strong as a bull, never covered himself. He did not bathe, was dirty from lying on the ground and never massaged his body. His loins were covered by a dirty cloth, and he wore a sacred thread darkened of dirt. In his spiritual splendor, he was like a hidden gem. He wandered around, disrespected by ignorant folk who called him a Brahman of birth, just a Brahman's friend. Because he only looked for work in order to obtain in exchange food from others, even his stepbrothers engaged him in agricultural work in the fields, a job to which he had no idea of what should be leveled or left uneven, or where he had to pile things up. Usually, only eating broken rice, oil cakes, chaff, worm-eaten grains or burnt rice that stuck to the pot, it was nevertheless all nectar to him. Then, at a certain moment, some decoyed leader appeared on the scene who desired a son and was looking for an animalistic person whom he could offer to the goddess Bhadrakali. The animal type he looked for had escaped, and his followers on their way to find him could, in the dead of night, not catch that animalistic man. As arranged by Providence, they stumbled upon the Brahmin son from the line of Angira, who, from an elevated position, was guarding the fields against deer, wild pigs, and other creatures. Discovering that he had the right character, they next, with shining faces, understanding that he could serve for their master's work, elated, took him to the temple of the goddess, tightly bound in ropes. In order to prepare him as the man-animal for the sacrifice, the followers of the decoyed then, according to their own customs, bathed him, gave him new clothes, covered his body with ornaments, smeared him with sandalwood pulp, and garlanded him. Vibrating songs, prayers, drums and bugles, they seated him before the goddess Kali, fully dressed up and properly fed, with incense, lamps, strings of flowers, parched grains, twigs and sprouts, fruits and other articles of worship. The priest of that decoyed leader, ready to offer a flow of blood from the animalistic man to the deity of Bhadrakali, next took a fearful razor-sharp sword and consecrated it with the appropriate mantras. These contemptible types, who, being of a passionate and ignorant nature, in their materialistic bewilderment were driven by minds full of imagination and thus acting to their own notions, followed a wrong course, were in offense with the heroic association of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmins. Proceeding with a lust for violence against others, they acted most cruelly directly against an expansion of the Lord himself, someone of a Brahmin birth, a son of spiritual wisdom, who had no enemies and who was a well-wisher to all. But at the very last moment, the goddess Bhadrakali, who saw what was about to happen in defiance of the law and against the will of the Lord, broke out of her statue with a burning physical appearance that was of an excessively bright, unbearable spiritual effulgence. Full of indignation, she totally lost herself in the force of her anger, with raised eyebrows, crooked teeth, bloodshot eyes, a frightening laugh, and an agitated, fearful face, as if she wanted to destroy the entire universe. Released from the idol, because of her great fury, she, coming forth from the altar, severed with the same blade as they wanted to use for the sacrifice, the heads from the bodies of all the sinful offenders, and then, together with her associates, drank from the blood that oozed from the necks as a very hot, intoxicating beverage. Overwhelmed by all that intoxicating drinking, she with her associates next loudly sang and danced, making fun, throwing their heads at each other like they were balls. When one, relating to great souls, has crossed the line, as in this case, one will always, because of that wrong action, oneself have to undergo the result of that offense. O Vishnudatta, to those who are not perplexed, this is not such a great miracle. They who without animosity are of goodness to all are by the Supreme Lord of the invincible time, who carries the best of all weapons, the Sudarshana disc, personally, fully liberated from the very strong and tight knot in the heart that is the consequence of a false physical concept of life. Even when threatened by decapitation or by other attacks on their lives, those liberated souls and devotees who, full of surrender, are protected at his lotus feet, are never upset by these kinds of emotional conditions. They have nothing to fear.